Okay, good evening. So, I am particularly excited about this class. I can say for myself, argument at some level, I think that of all the Sfarim, certainly the most Sfarim that I benefited the most from is this work, Mesilas Yesharim, Path of the Just. I'm just looking. I have this sefer was given to me by my roommate when I was 19 in yeshiva. All kinds of wishing well things over here for my birthday. But I have studied this with big tzaddikim, big talmidei chacham, who are much older than me. I've learned it with all kinds of people myself. And everyone who learned this sefer and absorbs it changes. It is the Vilna Gaon said it was the greatest work of his generation. The greatest Musar Kabbalistic work. He said that the Ramchal, he would have the opportunity when the Vilna Gaon was 27 years old, the Ramchal passed away. He said if he would have had the opportunity, he would have walked all the way to learn by the dust of the feet of the Ramchal. I actually just had the opportunity to write an introduction for a work giving a biography of Ramchal. So if anyone's interested, Rafal Moshe Becker is in the middle of publishing, which publisher, it should be out soon, a book called The Ultimate Plan on the Ramchal's work of Derech Hashem, the way of God. I wrote, I think it was 8 pages of a biography of the Ramchal for that book, for that sefer. So I'm not going to do his biography today. But what I will say, and what this class is really about, is changing our perspective, our Weltanschauung, our worldview of what Torah is, what it means to be a Torah Jew. For those who have heard me speak, that probably one of my greatest pet peeves is that people look at Yiddishkeit Yahadus as a checklist. Basically sociological factors. Do you keep Shabbos? Yes. Do I keep kosher? Yes. Do I come to Shul Yom Kippur? Yes. So that I'm that kind of Jew. And what that does is it makes people static, make people stop growing. And really, what Torah is that every day, every year of our lives, we're supposed to work on ourselves. We're supposed to try to improve ourselves. It's not something as I keep Shabbos. It's, do you work on Shabbos? Am I working on making Shabbos deeper? For anyone in yeshiva, Torah study is a daily struggle to understand the Torah, to delve into it, to push oneself, to exert oneself, to think deeper into it. Marriage. Right? It's like, oh, I'm married, mission accomplished. Anyone have that perspective? Don't have that perspective, right? Marriage, a great marriage, takes work, right? Well, having a great marriage to Hashem, having a beautiful spiritual life, being a fantastic individual also takes work. And what Mesilas Yesharim does is it empowers us on that journey of life to become the great people that each of us have the potential to be. And studying the work is the first step to that. So without any further ado, again, for the biographical information, when that work comes out, I'm happy to promote that work. I know he put a lot of work into it. It's there. But suffice it to say, the Ramchal was one of the greatest Kabbalists of the past 300 years. His works are primers in general in the world of Kabbalah, in the world of ethics and Musar. Certainly, Mesilas Yesharim, the work we're learning, is foremost amongst all Musar Sfarim. So much so that Rabbi Saul Salanter, the founder of the Musar movement, made it the primary Musar work. In the Hasidic movement as well, many of the Hasidic masters stressed the study of Mesilas Yesharim. Now, I'll tell you the truth. I deliberated today where to start. Why did I deliberate where to start? Because, at some level, what I always say is a good rabbi has to be a salesman. Now, it happens to be I have the best product in the world. I have Torah. You know, and most of the people in this room, actually all the people in this room, are great buyers, right? You're here because you're really, really, there's a lot of things you could be doing tonight. Nothing as important as this, but there are a lot of things that could, you know, do tonight. And, you know, the fact that you came tonight says a lot. But, you know, like anyone in life, you know, we do what we're excited about. If it's a Torah study, if we're not excited about it, if it doesn't speak to us, well, you know, even if we'll gain something, we may choose something other things, which I find it's unfortunate, by the way. Just, I can just take a second. It's interesting. You know, I once heard Rabbi Tatz from London say that he'll give a class on Jewish philosophy or on Jewish ethics, medical ethics, and he'll have a packed room. He said if he'll give the same class on the laws of Shabbos, he'll have a 20th of the crowd. Is the laws of Shabbos less important? It's probably more important at some level. But it's less exciting. It's less scintillating for people. So whenever you're having a study, you know, whether it's work like this or any work in life, a person always benefits. You know, obviously, if you have three classes to pick from, and you get benefit from more for one, but we should always look at what could I possibly glean if I have an hour to go or 45 minutes. What would I gain more sitting at home and looking at the political world? For sure not, right? Sitting at home and taking a bubble bath. That's probably a little bit better, but still for sure not, right? Right? You know, but a person we always gain from Torah. However, the reality is that things that we find to be more interesting, we are more likely to push ourselves for. That's just facts of life. Usually, when I learn a work, like, you know, I'd skip the introduction, because introduction really tends to be non sequitur, not as important, not, you know, you want to jump into the meat and not really, the introduction, hakdama, often is not the main focus of the work. In this case, I was deliberating, should I skip the introduction? Because once you start Mesilas Yesharim, the actual shar, the first perek, it's like immediate, you know, bombastic, novel thoughts applicable to day in, day out. Every word, every sentence. Vilna Gaon said that there's not one word in the first 10 chapters, it's superfluous. And that everything comes from the words of our sages. And we'll see when we learn it, it's exactly that. The Hakdama is introduction. Usually introductions are not as germane or exciting. But in this case, introduction happens to be very important. So I said, should I do the introduction? Should I not do the introduction? But then I figured, we have such a good crowd here with the introduction. But it is the introduction, and I feel it's important. And I took this, I will probably end up learning this, my safe that's been well used. But this is just to show people today, so I'll probably use it today. If anyone wants to get to work, I would recommend this one. It's the Art Scroll Mesora. It's brand new. It came out, I think, 2 years ago. It's fantastic. You know, I'm happy to lecture, and I would encourage, by the way, questions which are relevant to the text, which are relevant to everyone here. Not, if you feel something is important, they can share, wonderful. But and I'm happy to say if anything is not relevant for everyone else, discuss afterwards. But I would just say, if the work speaks to you, get the work. First of all, you can follow along as I'm reading. Second of all, we'll see, the type of work you'll want to learn your own, you'll want to review, you want to share with your significant others, be it spouses, be it children, be it parents, right? So I would encourage those who feel a gain from it, it's a good investment. Because what we're going to learn is, for everyone in this room, I know multiple people couldn't make it tonight because you had to go to the parent night at South Peninsula. Other people, from Mrs. Coriat, who asked me for this class, who's in the Holy Land, etc., will hear it online. But for everyone who's listening, whether in person or online, what this work is the existential purpose of what we're all here for. Because all of us are in this world to get close to Hashem, to work on ourselves, to become better people, to become holy people. And that's really what this is all about. It's really a boost in the arm to keep perspective. In life, you know, in Mussar, there are three aspects. And I've said this before. there is the chachma of Musar. There is the wisdom of Musar to know how to act, to know how to think, to know what to do. There is the personalization of that, right? Knowing ourselves. What motivates us in particular? What speaks to us? We have to know, you know, everyone's here's life situation is unique. Everyone's here's life situation is different. Our nature is different. Our nurtures are different. Our experiences are different. And our current realities are certainly different, right? And many of our futures will be different. But so we have to know how to apply that muster to us, right? Some of our husbands are lazy. Some of our husbands are too aggressive. Some of our husbands, right? Some of our children are easy. Some are very hard. Some of us have easy and hard children. Some have difficult relationships with parents. Some have more easy. Everyone has their unique situations. Some people are at work. They have certain challenges. Other people work as a breeze. Some have neighbors that are not problematic. Everyone has their own challenges. Everyone has their own unique challenges. So the second thing is having the cheshbon hanefesh, having the contemplation to apply that wisdom to our own lives. What do we need to work on, right? How do I need to work on it? And what motivates me to work on it, right? What speaks to me? And number three is once we have that wisdom to know what we should do, what we could do, what we must do, and we know what works for us, what our weaknesses are, number three is inculcating that. And one of the ways to inculcate that and to change is review. And we'll talk about other techniques as we go along. So without further ado, the Ramchal's Hakdama starts, an introduction to the work starts as follows. I want you to realize, as I'm telling you, I've learned this work dozens of times, and as I'm opening it, I feel in awe of the author, I feel in awe of this work, because really what it does is it opens our eyes to living Judaism as opposed to going through Judaism and living a relationship with Hashem. Amar Machaber says the author, HaChibur HaZeh, this work, Lo Chibartiv, L'lamed L'vnei HaAdam, Es Asher Lo Yadu. I didn't compose this work to teach people what they did not know. Ella, rather, lahazkiram esehadu lahem kvar meforsim etzlam pirsim. I'm going to remind you of things which you know about already, right? And it's already in many of the things we'll discuss are abundantly evident. Kilosim sabarov dvarai el dvaram shroi bnei adam yoidim osam lo mestapkim bahem klal. Right? I'm going to find in most marriages you'll find things that most people know and don't doubt at all. Ella, however, shekfi roiv pirsumam uchenega mashamitasim glula kol. Right, but according to the great degree that we all know we're supposed to be doing certain things, and they're self-evident. Kach, with that, hahelam mehem matzim od. The lack. Even though we know many of the things that in this work, he says, you'll know. I'm going to remind you. I'm going to tell you what he'll tell us is how to actually implement it. But you know about these concepts. But the helem, the lack of being on the radar, right? Lack of, you know, if I can talk about this little thing which is currently recording me, this whoever this Samson universe this is. Right, everyone knows that you can have this iPhone addiction and waste of time and a million other things that come with this phone. You know, in fact, you know, it changes a person's brain on some level. Right, you can know that, and you can even think about it once in a while. But most people, you just get used to it. Right, I'm just being a very small example. There are a million things that we know we should do in marriage and in parenting. And health, taking care of ourselves, and being how to act towards others. But many of them, even though we know it, if we'd stop it and think about it, it's not on our radar. It's not there, right? Most people, when they go daven and they pray or they bench, you know, don't think about what they're doing at some level, right? It's just things we do. It's just reality is how we are, right? So even though they're very, very people know we should strive for these things. We should aim for that. That's a correct way of living, right? Because it's not on our radar, it doesn't happen. And then we completely forget about it. Like, we completely and totally lose focus of it. Because it's not on our radar, right? We completely and totally focus. Al kein, therefore, says the author, in Atu'alis, the main benefits, Hanochem and Azem and a Sefer, is not to read it once, right? And then move on from life. Kikvar Efshar, it's possible. Shlo Yematza Korba Sechel Chidushim. Pierce may not find so many novel thoughts. Now, my great teacher, Matziel Salman, Meshkech of Lakewood Yeshiva, he points out, he's the author, Ramchal's talking. You remember, Ramchal was a teacher of a select group of students who were Kabbalists. He's speaking to a scholarly audience. Okay? Maybe they didn't find as many novel thoughts, and even they gained and gleaned tremendously. Because again, the Vilna Gaon was to learn this work all the time. But for us, we'll find many, 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 many novel thoughts. You know, many, many novel thoughts. But even for us, we're going to find many novel thoughts. The way we'll take advantage of it is by reviewing it, and not just hearing it once, and moving on in life. Aval to'elos yeitzim min ha'chazara alav, from reviewing it, v'hasmadin, doing it consistently. And by the way, one of the things I don't want to bypass is, maybe someone should turn on the air, because it's a little hot in here. Yeah, it's actually one of the things you know, that if you're hot, you can't focus. And the people naturally forget. And a person, if you study this work and you think about it, a person will put to their heart and to their head their obligation. What we're obligated to do. Why we're in this world in the first place. Why Hashem put us here. Why you're in this room tonight. You may regret it. No, you won't regret it. All right. But why we're here, right? To put it into our head, the tira, and you'll see, in tisbonin behove b'roiv ha'olam, if you think of the prevailing situation in the world, ki roiv anshi ha'seichel ha'mahir v'ha'pichin, right? That most people with quick and astute minds, ha'charifim, the intellectual, yasimu roiv his bonanam v'istaklusam, person who's very smart, you know, you think of these Russian, you know, academics, right? You know, they're very, you know, it happens to be, you know, in America they call them these tiger moms, these Chinese, they have nothing on the Russian mothers, nothing. It's like, you know, unbelievable. Like, they push their kids. So what are they pushing their kids to? What's considered intellectual? Go to Israel, go to Herzliya, see where their heads are. You know, what is the focus? And not only are Jews who may not know as much of the focus, you can go to the religious communities as well, we'll see in a second. What are they thinking? When a person is going to think of real wisdom and real academics, what you should use your intellect for, right? What really demands intelligence? Ish kifinatia sechlo v'chishko ativi. So, and every person will have a certain disposition and natural interest. Some people will delve into biology and other of the natural sciences. They'll look at science and they'll use whether it's today the genealogy or you name it, and they'll be amazed and they'll delve deeply into the world of science, and they'll find intellectual stimulation there, and that's what they'll put their leisure time and their free brain cells into. V'achirim, now today, I don't know too many people who do this, but there are, in those days it's more common. The tchuna ulahandasa, astronomy and geometry. I don't know too many people who put their minds in math today, you know, but there are.
I know.
On their free time, adults?
Mm-hmm.
Do you really? Russians. Is yours also Russian?
Son-in-law.
Your son-in-law. He's a math teacher.
He's from
But he's a math teacher. Math teachers don't count.
My husband.
No, but he does it for fun.
He does count.
It's like you're a bat. No, if you're a teacher.
His free time. Yeah. So
okay, fine. Fine. Okay, so there are still people today. They'll use their brains to understand math. Vacherim, others will want to master crafts. Vacherim, and others, Yikrusu Yoyser LaKoyesh. Now, remember, the author here is speaking to a completely religious crowd. There is no such thing in the 18th century as a liberal Jew. It didn't exist. There's nothing in the 18th century, in the early 18th century, as a Jew who didn't keep Shabbos, essentially. I mean, 98% plus of all Jews in the early 18th century kept Shabbos. Okay, that's a fact. Right? The vast, vast majority of them kept Torah. So still, and yet, of course, many of them were very involved in many other studies. They'll study Torah, they'll learn Gemara, some will study on the intricacies of Jewish law, some will learn of the homiletics, some will just do the practical laws, not all of the analysis of them. Achma'atim, but there are very, very few people. Yumin ha-min ha-zeh, of the intellectual type, asherik bu'iyun ve-limud, who will put contemplation and study, al-shleimus ha-avodah, how to have complete service of Hashem, al-ha-ahava, how to love Hashem, like as a study, and as a work, and as an avoda, as a service to love Hashem, al-hayira, to be in awe and fear Hashem, al-hadvekis, to be able to cling to Hashem, v'al-kol-shar chelki ha-chasidis, in all other elements of piety, even very religious Jews will let that go, right? And by the way, just to swing back, there are very, very few parents, unless they have problems with their kids, that sit there, and I'm not talking about you're forced to deal with their kids, but as before they even have issues, study parenting to understand the best way possible to do everything, right? And work on themselves to do it. I mean, you have many married ladies in this room. I would question how many of us work on marriage on a systematic, intellectual level and use our brains as we're walking, thinking, how could I work on my marriage? What could I do better? Especially if you're happily married. You say, well, I'm good. Things are great. Like, you know, all right. Or things are mediocre. We're just used to it. Very few people work at certain. There are practical realities to that, by the way. Because marriage knocks on your face, in your door, right? You live with the person. Your children are there. you're forced to deal with them. And even then, it's very few people. We ad hoc, you know. The kid's in trouble school, what am I going to do? If the kid's this, if my husband's upset about something, my spouse, hey. But how many of us go ahead and work on it? Certainly with Hashem and mitzvahs. Fearing Hashem, loving Hashem, serving Hashem, being holy, right? With the author saying, very few people think, you know, don't raise your hands. Think for a second. When's the last time anyone in this room thought about loving God? I'm not even thinking of the mitzvah of loving God. How to love God more. I would speculate, I don't say no one, but it's not something we think about too often. Right. I spoke about it.
You gave us some ideas.
Yeah, I did. I gave myself ideas as well, by the way. It helps me as well. Fearing Hashem, clinging to Hashem, or thinking about that this is a purpose of life, right? How many of us does it bother us? You know, marriage, if you're not happily married, it bothers you. If your kids, you have a strange relationship or they're disbehaving, it bothers you, really bothers you. Parents, you know, kids can't appreciate it, but parents, it kills parents with their kids, right? How many of them are bothered not to have a relationship with Hashem? We don't love Hashem. How many of us are bothered that we go into Shabbos and we're not excited about it? It's not the best day of the week for us. We're not, you know, I'm not talking about the chant or the sleep, by the way. Right? Does it bother us? Do we think about that? How does it bother that on Tisha B'Av we didn't cry, right? That we can be sitting in the front of Tisha B'Av and we're not bothered by that, right? How much are bothered that when we daven Shemona Esrei or bench, right? You know, it does that we don't have kavanah. Do we think about that? Do we Do we work? And I'm not saying work for 2 seconds, or if the rabbi speaks about Birchas Hamazon, I heard he spoke very well about this week, right? They think about that Shabbos and then move on. Like, right? In 6 months now, we're benching. Are we thinking about benching? That, you know, I remember I was once next to somebody who's a Magid Shirtei Zerush Kailo somewhere, and he was sitting at the table. I can't believe it. Apparently, he realized in davening that for years he was pronouncing a word wrong. He was pronouncing the word, I bothered him to no end. This is a person who was a very big Torah scholar. It bothered him, right? Many of us, we just go on in life, right? And the number one reason is because it's not on our agenda. And we know it's right, right? Everyone's going to tell you, don't you want to love God? Of course you want to love God. Everyone's going to tell you, don't you want to fear Hashem? Of course you want to fear Hashem. Don't you want to have a great relationship? Of course. Right? Isn't it important? Of course it is. That's what the author says. Not because these things are not important. If you ask a person, of course, what's the purpose of life? Is the purpose of life to take a bubble bath? No one's going to tell you that. It's the purpose of life to watch, Donald Trump? Definitely not, right? Hillary Clinton? Certainly not, right? I mean, is the purpose of life to work in Google or in Intel and Adobe? To be a doctor or a nurse or a rabbi? Definitely not. Definitely not. No one's going to tell you, did God put you on this world to be an engineer? Right? Now, it could be we're supposed to utilize that. That's certainly true. Is that the purpose? No. Is the purpose of life to have to do mitzvahs and serve Hashem? Yes. So if you ask a person, yeah, these are ikar galo. Of course, that's the most important life. If you corner a person, you ask them, tell me what life's about. What are you here in this world for? Tell me what life is about. They'll say this. Of course, this is what it's about. B'shalo yidme chacham she'chacham be'emes. It can't be imagined that a wise man could be truly wise. Shalo yisbar. That's still called a unless, you know, I'm talking again. Jews are on the path. You know. That they don't know it. This is what the Torah is here for. This is what we're created for. Achach, mashlo yirbul aina love. But they tell you, I know about chesed, I know about Shabbos, I know about love Hashem, I know. Everyone knows it. This is what you're supposed to do. Shlo yir lahem tzurich lo tzibin. So no, I don't have to focus on it. You know, I don't have to think about it. I know that I'm supposed to love Hashem. I'm supposed to fear Hashem. Like these big colossal concepts. Shabbos, I know. I don't drive. You know, I keep Shabbos. You know. Does that mean, is there an avayda? Is there a work? Is there a methodical study how to do this well? Right? Is there time and energy? And the truth is that the people who tend to focus on being pious, he's talking about in the early 18th century, were the people who were whose minds were not as subtle. Not the academics, not the brilliant people, right? The more simple folk. You know, actually, when you think about religious folk in America, very often you think of somebody not in the Ivy Leagues. I can tell you what I think of the people in the Ivy Leagues. Not highly, but they think they're smart. They really do. I mean, they really do. And they're not too intelligent. They think that they're smart. You think of it, when you think about people, I don't want to knock North Carolina, but in parts of North Carolina, right, they think about people in Mississippi, and they look at them as backward. Some of them are, right? And those are the religious folk, you know? Those are the people who believe in, like, you know, science fiction. And not talking Isaac Asimov over here. They're talking about the way they view the Bible, or the way they view a lot of things, right? The simple folk, they're the religious folk. The intelligent, well, in the same thing, even in the religious world, you could have people very focused on the academic parts of Gemara or of Judaism and forgetting what's the core values, what really needs to be worked on. You know, the Ramchal, in this work, by the way, it's broken down to Mislul Shisham Aleph, Misal Sharm Beis. We're learning which is the classic Misal Sharm. He has another work. The original is it's a debate between the Chacham and the Chassid, right? And they go back and forth. What's more important, to be wise or to be pious? Now, real piety comes from wisdom. What's the emphasis? And he comes out unabashedly, it's to be pious, right? That the greatness is not just to have lots of psukim or Torah knowledge or even, but is to have a connection, a beautiful connection with oneself, with Torah, with mitzvahs, and with Hashem. Right? That's the game point. And what happens is very often that the people who can't enter the world of high-level academic Judaism, so they settle for this. But people who think they're more sophisticated, they look at it, no, that's not for them.
So you see a person who's very religious.
You think they're a little bit simple. You know, the reason you're so religious, you don't know as much, or you're not into science as much, you're not into other things as much, or you're not focused on for the more Torah world, you're not focused as much as Gemara. This has terrible. It's playing. I'm listening to myself. I want to see the cute baby also. It's good. This is a terrible reality. For the wise and the not so wise. And again, in the 18th century, the average Jew was learned. But what he's saying is many of the learned people didn't work on these areas. Right, they didn't work on being authentically pious. It's very, very precious to find people who are genuinely, authentically pious, holy, and with that comes happiness, generosity. Right, people who partake of the world what they need, and honestly what they need, and leave other parts aside. People who are genuinely humble. Right, people who care deeply about other people. People who care deeply about the Jewish people. People who care deeply about Hashem. Right? That focus. Not a person who lives methodically, right? Or out of rote, right? Or could the same person who could be so learned could have so little care for other people because they haven't worked on these areas. From some of the wise people, from the religious people, some of the very religious people could be really lacking in certain areas because they're not looking at this. They're not delving into this. And therefore, people who are less sophisticated very often, instead of imitating the great people, they're focusing on the wrong things. So in those days, you know, today, we have very little reverence and very little desire to do more. Right, and you know, people tend to think of religiosity today as like external appearances or labels. Do you keep Chalav Yisrael? Do you do this? Do you do that? You know, do you cover your hair? Do you not? I mean, all these, you know, all those type of things. But in the 18th century, that was most of those things were granted. So the simple folk, they would focus on saying lots and lots of Tehillim, just an exceeding amount. Tehillim itself are very good, but like any tool, if you do it exceedingly, you can be missing out. You say Tehillim for 5 hours a day, for most people that would be excessive. Apparently there are people. People would fast a lot. Soimus Kashim, there are people who actually jump into snow and to break their habits. Which are matters which a person is intellectually healthy cannot be at peace with. And a healthy mind can't be at ease. True piety, true holiness, true genuine righteousness, right? Which is hanirtza v'hanechmad, which is pleasing and desiring, which is great for the individual who's lucky enough to be that way. To work, and which is pure and desired by Hashem and by Hashem's people, right? Leaves the sichlo ki davarze pashet milsa. This the lo rami alav inish lavadeita. This is a very big Talmudic principle. If it's not on our mind, it won't happen. If we don't think about being genuinely righteous and we don't have a game plan to do it, it's not going to happen. We're not going to zap into this. You know, when you think about marriage, if having a great marriage is not on our mind, it's not going to happen. If being a great friend is not on our mind, it's not going to happen. You know what it means to be a great friend? I remember Rabbi Zweig, Rashi of Miami. I learned it once in his yeshiva. Rabbi says, you know what a great friend is? A good friend is a person you call at 10 o'clock in the night and you ask him for a favor. A great friend is somebody you call at 3 o'clock in the morning. They ask you a favor and you don't ask them, why are you calling me at 3 o'clock in the morning? If your friend asks you, that's a great friend. You know how you become that way? You want to be a great friend, right? You know, sometimes you have a friend for 45 years. Okay, maybe. But is it being a great friend to many people, having that kind of attitude, right? It takes work. Being an unbelievable person takes davening or benching or Torah seriously or guests. You know, there are limits of there hachnasas orchem and there's hachnasas orchem. There's hachnasas orchem when it's comfortable. There's hachnasas orchem when you're tired, you had a difficult week. You know, and not just that they come to your house, you open your house, but you view yourself as lucky. If you want to read a great book on hachnasas orchem, you want to read hachnasas orchem? Anyone read A Tzaddik of Our Time? Anyone read that book? A Tzaddik of Our Time. You read this book? Oh my goodness, about Rabbi Aryeh Levine. Oh my goodness, how do you? It's worth it. Just that book. You hear about Rabbi Aryeh Levine, who is Rabbi Yosha's father-in-law. You know, Rebbetzin Kanievsky. I don't know if anyone read her book. She learned from her grandfather. That was her grandfather. You know, Rabbi Aryeh Levine, no relationship to me. I'm not promoting it because I'm related. I am actually taking it back. I am related to Rabbi Aryeh Levine, but not from my side. From the Rebbetzin side, she's related to Rabbi Aryeh Levine. You know, going back, if she, common ancestors. So, I mean, this is a person who had 30, 40 people a week, did a million other chassadim, and he would look for guests, and he would genuinely feel awful if he didn't have guests. It was, you know how that happened? It was a person who thought about what Hachnasas Orchem is. It wasn't created that way. You know, I'm sure he had a certain disposition, but to be like that, you know, you read the book, you see of a person who's so developed. He was a Baal Musar, too, right? So if it's not on our mind to be pious Jews, to be holy Jews, to be passionate Jews, it's not going to happen. Passionate Judaism, having a loving relationship with Hashem, takes time and energy and effort, right? Thought. The AFLP should kvar kvum belev kodem hayasher haschalus. The service of in lo yasek bam. And even if you know in general, these are great things to do. Every upright right now person knows this. Yira prata v'lo yakirim yavar lem yogesh. You won't do it. You won't be if you're not thinking about praying seriously. You may pray every day, but it's not. It's like, you know, that mashal I gave this week about the airplane that never takes off. You drive around the airport, you don't fly. You won't fly. You may know, everyone knows what real prayer is, to connect to God. But you can pray every day and never connect to God. Because when you start praying, it's not in your mind to connect to God. You bench, it's not in your mind to connect to God. Right? So if it's not on your mind, that this is what you have to get to, you're not going to get to it. Right? A ki ein divrei chassidus. The person has to see and know that in matters of genuine piety, the inyan haria yira, and things relating to fear of Hashem, the ahava and love of Hashem, the taharas halev, purity of heart. You know what purity of heart is? You see people, you think pure thoughts. When you're around things, you think pure thoughts, right? When your reaction to Chesed is pure, a person's reaction to Shabbos and to Yom Kippur is pure. Reaction to Tzedakah, giving charity, is pure. Certainly, you know, in marriage, in parenting, in relationships, it's pure. But by and beyond, it's not things which are natural. Which if you go with the flow, it just will be there. You know, everyone knows you're supposed to want the basic. Go try and cry on Tisha B'Av. Right? Everyone knows on Yom Kippur you're supposed to really feel bad for what you did wrong. And not because you're supposed to feel guilty, because you're generally supposed to feel bad. You have a chance to fix it. Right? Everyone knows that when somebody has a tragedy, and for women, by the way, this is easier. For men, women have different challenges than men. But, you know, that you're supposed to really feel for them, not just for 5 minutes, cry, but think about them. Everyone knows that in some mixes, you know, I'll tell you, women are weaker. And, you know, somebody doesn't invite them, somebody slights them, not to take it personally, you know, and not to harbor and carry that on, right? Or if your husband, let's pick on the men right now, right? Men are so dense in marriage. I can't tell you enough how dense men are in marriage. Really every lady, if she's happily married, wants her husband to appreciate her. That's a normal innate called appreciate. Men, you know, their idea of appreciation is if they remember to say thank you. It's like in passing, you know, like, oh yeah, thanks. It's certainly not focusing on details, right? You know, if you're not thinking about it, if a man's not thinking about thanking his wife, trust me, a man will not thank his wife. He can have the best spouse in the world. It just doesn't hit his head. You know, and if you ask him, do you appreciate it? I appreciate it. Does he ever articulate that? Never. Never. Not articulated, not spelled out, you know. So everything in life of these areas, if it's not always there, you need to have the means and the thought process to really acquire them. It's not like instincts. Like people get tired and people wake up, right? Everyone's body is different. As you mentioned, there's a certain uniqueness. Some people get tired certain times. Some people need 5 hours of sleep. Some people need 4 hours of sleep. Some people need 8 or 7 hours of sleep. But harav, some people are hungry after the metabolism is quick. Some people a little bit later. But everyone gets hungry and everyone gets full, right? Those are natural realities. Love of Hashem, fearing Hashem, being caring, being genuine, being holy, having pure thoughts, being able to connect to prayer, being able to connect to others. All of these are areas that need emtsayim, means ultachpulos, and strategies to acquire them. Being a great parent, being a great friend, you know, a real great all around, not being jealous, being happy. Consistently happy and appreciative in life, right? It doesn't happen naturally. You know, it's not like you wake up every morning, no matter what happens to you, walk around, oh, this is great. Baruch Hashem, I'm happy, I got stuck in traffic. Right? It doesn't work that way, right? And certainly even there's a limit for most people where, you know, there's a level of righteousness where a person can consistently be happy. There's bad days and good days, but there's a consistent lo yichs, but it takes work. There's dividends, but it takes work. There's so much areas in life, right? And did they tell you in Intel or in Cisco? In Intel, right? Did they tell you to work on fear of Hashem? Love you, Hashem. How about jealousy? Do they work on jealousy? Not really. Maybe for the company's sake, but do they tell you about, you know, parenting, to care of your son? Do they work on that? I once spoke about parenting at Apple. You know, it's you know, even there, it's, you know, and I said bonafide, it's the company's interest is for their interest. There's nothing intrinsic about it, right? Most things are reminder, most commercials, most consumerist things out there, very little reminds you about this type of stuff. If we don't remind ourselves, there's no signs in the street, be holy. If they are, stay far away from it, because it's probably the last thing around holiness, right? There's very little that's genuine in this world. It's reminding about this, right? When you wake up in the morning, nobody's telling you to pray to God with all of your heart and with all of your soul, right? You know, it doesn't happen that way. There's many things that no one don't remind you to pull you away from holiness, from fear of God, from love of God, from clinging to God, from being generous, for being not narcissistic, for focusing on others. Right? How does a person walk through life, not invest time, to to understand the true nature of this marriage. Ladas haderech leknosim lekayam, to learn the method by which to acquire and retain them. Ma'ayin tavo hachachma zos be'elev adam. How is a person going to get this wisdom? Im lo yivakshena. If you don't search for it. Kevan shekvar es ames etzakol chacham. And everyone who's, you know, if you're an Orthodox Jew, if you're a religious Jew, or you're a Jew who wants to be religious, you know that this is what you're supposed to do, right? The chovas taras nekiyana, that you want to be, have a great relationship with Hashem. Shizulas eila in a nirtis vade klal, right? And we know that, you know, when you come to that moment of truth, we know that this is what really life is about. And you really corner yourself and say, what in the world am I doing in this world, right? After 120 years, is God going to care if I wore, I don't know what ladies' brands are, or Armani, I figured. I don't know, if it's from Bloomingdale's or JCPenney. Okay, not much I know. Right? God, you think God cares? Does it make any real difference intrinsically? Is it really going to make a difference if, you know, a million other things that we put so much time and energy on? And many of them are good mediums and are important at some level, but it's, if you're missing the main point, you're missing it all. You know? If you have an immaculate house and you abuse your husband and your kids, so you're missing what the house is there for. It's nice to have an immaculate house, which is clean and nice, but if you have no relationship with your spouse or your kids, or you have no relationship with your parents, you're missing something. Something's amiss. Right, you can have a great dinner, but you can't talk to anybody in your family. That's a problem. Well, if you have all of the good cosmetics of life and you have no relationship with Hashem, you're missing the point of life. Okay, and therefore, no one here is missing the point of life because you're here tonight. That's a fact. Anyone who came in tonight is way ahead of the average person, not because you came here, because you're the type of person who's coming to a class like this. Right, but all of us. Have so much that we can do more, without exception, to improve in this area. And there's nothing more important than that, right? Of course we know that if we're not davening or learning or Shabbos or loving Hashem or feeling Hashem or believing in Hashem, and belief, by the way, is levels of belief. Emunah has, you know, there's basic belief and there's belief, right? There's passion. Hashem searches all hearts. He understands one's thoughts. After 120 years, we're going to answer to Hashem. He's going to look at our lives. He's going to say to us, what did you do with your life? And he's going to start playing back our days. He's going to say, tell me what you did today. And that's what judgment will be. Right? What? Do you think God's going to say, did you watch the debate? Did you not watch the debate? Did you see the sports game? Did you not see the sports game? Right? Did you drive to watch to Point Lobos? God will not ask you to Point Lobos. Now, if you go to Point Lobos and you find it to be inspiring and helps you serve God, great. Then he'll say, that's a good move. But there's no intrinsic question, did you go to Point Lobos? Right? I've never been to Yosemite. I've never been to Tao. I would like to go, but you know what? Right now, it doesn't fit into my game plan. And I think it's great, by the way, if someone goes there and they're motivated, relaxed, very wonderful. But I don't think I'll. I know God's not going to go to Yosemite at all, because right now it's not my game plan. But I do know that Hashem will ask me how Menachem Levin davened on Chav Dalet Av, and how I benched today, and did I smile at my children when I saw them, even though I was a little bit annoyed when I got home because I was tired. Annoyed them, right? Did I hug them? Did I kiss them? Did I thank my wife for dinner? Did I help out in the house? I do know Hashem will ask about that. I do know Hashem will say, when I came to Shabbos, did you love Shabbos? Did you wait for Shabbos? I do know Hashem will say, did you think about my Beis HaMikdash? I do know Hashem will say, when you see a Jew, do you think if you could help him? He will ask me that, right? He will not ask me if my tie matched my jacket, right? My parents will ask me that. But Hashem will not. That's why my father will always give me ties, so I'm not that worried, right? You know? They won't ask me that, but Hashem will ask me this, right? And that really, you know, that's where I thought, he's not going to ask me, did I get a better tax loophole or not? If you ask me, did I waste money? Okay, that's of course. What's the importance of it? What's the house about? Is it about the couches and the chairs?
right? Or the clean floor? Or is it about the happiness and the relationships that are in the house? Right? What's our life about? The most important thing is the relationship to Hashem and to Torah mitzvahs. Right? Not the cosmetics. The cosmetics are also important, by the way. We'll see that. Right? But not maybe I want to talk about what are you going to answer to God after 120 years? And by the way, I really, truly believe, as important as for the world to come, a person who has this has the chasm and the difference of quality of life of a holy Jew, of a pious Jew, of a balanced Jew, and a non. In this world, you're much happier. In this world, you're much more satisfied. Right? I kid you not, we're talking about the Russians. I had a Russian guy come to my office yesterday, not an observant Jew, depressed, brilliant person. What's the point of life? This is the guy, I think to myself, how lucky. I don't think like that. I don't live like that. The guy's like depressed and he's getting physically sick because of that. This is not a clinically ill person, by the way. It's a person who has no belief in Hashem. You know? And actually, I shouldn't say no. Has a very weak belief in Hashem. He wouldn't be in my office otherwise. And he wouldn't have, you know. But it's a great life in this world. But Hashem is going to ask us in the next world, where do you put your time and energy? What was your job? What's your criteria? What are you supposed to be doing? You know, imagine you're hired for a high-tech company, you know, and, you know, it's important to have a good coffee because you'll work better. I think Google gives food all over the place, even kosher food. Why do they do that? Because you want to be a good employee, right? So you take the food, you have the amenities. But you know what? If you just use the amenities, you don't do your job, right? You get fired. You're missing the boat. The reason they give you all the food is you should eat a good meal. You should have a comfortable cubicle. You know, if you want an office, become a lawyer, but there's different problems with that, right? You should have, but you know, what's your purpose? You're not here for lunch. You're not here to wear the cap. You're here for the job. The job, what are you focusing on? What are you working on? If you don't even think about it, it doesn't even hit your daily thought process. I'm not talking when a person crashes and burns, which is usually, by the way, I've never, ever had somebody come to my office or in yeshiva or anywhere else say, Levine, I'm trying to work on my Avas Hashem. How can I do it? Now I've had depressed people come because they're sad. I've had anxious people come because they're anxious. I've never had somebody come to me, my marriage is great, but I want to become even better. Have people with their marriages have problems. Parenting, woo! Have I seen crash and burns? Never have I had anybody come to me and say, you know, I'm not saying that's going to come to me. People want much wiser than me, but I've never even had the question. You know, my kids are doing great. I wanted them to do even better. How could I? It doesn't happen. You know, so most of us, when we're having problems, we think about it. Right? I'm telling you, I've never had somebody come on any of those topics. So I'm like, you know, I think to myself, do I think of those topics? Right? But in Mishal, we don't put the in on that. What's Hashem going to ask about us? What's really important? Hayitachin. Is a person going to worry about math all day, or sciences, or politics, or sports, you know, or the news, or their job, you know, and have never think about what's really important in life and how to work on it, and how to better in it? These things that we're not obligated to, Hashem is not going to ask you, did you memorize all of geometry? And do you, you know, yeah. In my youth, I was in the National Geography Bee. I was in the state championships. Like, I had to take this test, and I was like, did very well, and I was at the top whatever, and they bust you in. I was, you know, geography and history came natural to me. I don't think Hashem will care less than I was in the Geography Bee. It's not going to give me any, it won't give me any gratification in the world of truth. I don't think I spent that much time on geography. I spent some time, but it doesn't make a difference at the end of the day. Now, it helps me. That's all me. It's a tool for certain things. It's good to know where Boise is, you know. It's good to know, that there are mountains in certain countries and not, you know. It's good to know I'm traveling somewhere, where to where. If I meet somebody to know what to discuss, it is helpful. But it's in and of itself not important, right? It's not what Hashem's going to be asking anybody about. History also, you name it, right? It could be a tool. There are many things that can be a tool, and one should use these things as a tool. You know? But is that where you have to put your energy to the exclusion of what's really important? You know, again, a house, it's important that the dishes be clean and the house look good. Nice. But if the people aren't happy in the house, it really doesn't make a difference. You know, it's not the folk. It's an addendum. What's really important is the people in the house. How are they doing? You know, is there simcha? Is there happiness? Is there healthy relationships? Hashem's going to say, you know, if you use your math to serve God, great. But if you have no relationship to Hashem, that's a problem. If you have no fear of Hashem, that's a problem. If you have no love of Hashem, that's a problem. If you could have fancy Shabbos meals and not love Shabbos, that's a problem. Ultimately, these analysis, there's no fruit. What's we're really obligated, chayva, rabba, which is the main thing of life. We just go with our default. You know, some of us are more spiritual, some of us are less spiritual, some of us are nurture, we grew up religious, we have a huge advantage. Somebody who grew up in Yerushalayim, in parts of Yerushalayim, have a huge advantage of somebody who grew up in Moscow. A person in Moscow is in their 50s, grew up under communism. Like, and a kid in Yerushalayim in their 50s, they grew up going to Cheder. I mean, okay, so that person, their starting point is way ahead because they grew up with Shabbos and kosher, it's much easier. So they'll be at the rest, that, you know, God's going to judge them at that level. Like, they started out there. And the person, you know, like, there's Baal Tshuva syndrome. The Baal Tshuva in the beginning, they start getting all excited, they become observant, and they're done. You know, they've now sociologically made it. You know, I keep Shabbos. Great. And you think that's, what about loving Shabbos? What about working on Shabbos? Like, you get married. Great. Now what's next? You bring children to the world. I'm a parent. Wonderful. What about your children now? You know, this is our focus. But what happens is we leave it to our default. So all of us, there are certain people in this room, certain people in the room, interpersonal relationships come easier. Some people in this room, davening comes easier. Some people in this room, chesed comes easier. So wherever our default is, we go with the flow, right? That's not what we're supposed to be doing. We're supposed to not just go by our default. We're supposed to be working on these things. This is the point, the essence of life. We'll hold here. Again, we're probably going to have one more class on the Hakdama, and then we'll get into it. But this work is all important, not because of what we're saying, because it reminds us. Because it reminds us that, what I will say is, it's kedai to get to work. It will take us maybe one or two more classes to get into it, but I believe that the introduction is important to introduce us to the concept what Judaism really is, what life is really about, and where our focus needs to be throughout it. Thank you.